Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value displays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 489. Got a special guest joining me today, a first-timer to the show. I was privileged to be on his podcast a couple weeks ago. The dude is all over Twitter tweeting out amazing information, even writing stuff now as well. So go check that out. I'll let him plug it all here in just a minute. But you can find his podcast, the Fantasy MLB Today podcast. He is on Twitter at Joe Orrico, O-R-R-I-C-O-99. Joe, how are you doing, man?
Bubba, I am thrilled to be here, man. I'm really, I'm a happy man today in Toronto, first of all, with Charlie Montoyo being out of town. I know a lot of people are not too happy, but it's definitely brightened up my day. But being on here, very, very excited to be on here for the first time. We set this up a couple weeks back, and I've been looking forward to it, man. We're going to talk some NL surprises, and it should be a lot of fun.
I appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to it. I had a great time chatting with you a few weeks ago. I know you had my buddy Bloom, Ryan Bloomfield, on again for the second time. Dude's an amazing human being and fantasy analyst to top it off. But before we get into the other topics of the day, again, plug your podcast, plug your articles you're writing, plug a special event we have coming up, all kinds of fun stuff.
Absolutely. There is a lot to be excited about. Now, I'm pretty new into this space, but I've been welcomed in with open arms by guys like yourself and like Ryan. Ryan was on the show today. We talked yesterday, but it's actually a part of today's show. And that show, like you said, Fantasy MLB Today, it's part of the Sports Ethos podcast. I don't know if they really call it a network, but the sportsethos.com is where a lot of the stuff comes out. It used to be Hoopball, for those of you who play fantasy basketball. They used their old friends of Bogman and the Welsh, who know the site creators, Dan Besperus and Aaron Bruski, back from their Roto World days. And anyway, I got in with those guys and started doing this. There's a Fantasy NBA Today show, NFL Today. So they're all kind of sister shows. And we've been going for about 4 months now. And we do that Monday through Friday, usually half an hour to an hour. I bring on a guest once a week. Bubba, you were on. We did a buy low, sell high show. I listened back to it and it actually sounded like we got a few things right, you know, buy low on a couple of guys that actually turned out to be, to turn it around, I should say. They've turned it around, and the sell highs who have kind of fallen off a cliff a little bit. So it sounded good. A lot of people love you. That's like the most downloaded episode of the show. So
that's crazy, but thank you.
People love their Bubba stuff. But I do once a week, a Sunday article where I kind of just do my own thing. Some weeks it's a waiver wire thing where I talk about some of the most added guys. Some weeks it's buy low and sell high. I just kind of mix it up, whatever I'm really feeling that week. It's Sunday afternoon. It usually comes out. I tweet it out. Like you said, follow me on Twitter, and I usually do some Twitter threads throughout the day. I've had COVID these last couple of weeks, so I've been kind of down with the Twitter activity, but I've been ramping up again recently, just trying to do some recaps and some Brief player evaluations, as much as the 280 characters will allow you to do. Just trying to get some information out there. I didn't see so much of that really going on, so just trying to find my own little way in this fantasy world, but trying to put out a bunch of content like yourself, just trying to get my name out there.
That's the way to do it. First up, glad you're feeling better. That's good to hear. That's just the thing is, and you do it consistently. That's my number one thing I tell people whenever they ask me, they'll message me or whatever, like, what do you recommend? I say, just be consistent. If it's once a week, make it that once a week. Whatever you do, just make it consistent. That's what you do with your show. And one of the threads I love, because I talk to a lot of people about it, and I know Bloomfield and I share sentiments the same. Like, we do a lot of NFBC content. I'm not going to joke around about that. But Bloomfield and I, our goal is to try to be not as heavy NFBC focused if possible, because in reality, most people that take in content play ESPN, play CBS, play Yahoo. They play 10 and 12 team leagues. They're not playing the NFBC leagues. It's just the brass tacks of it all. I love the format of the NFBC. I think it's great. I'm going to keep playing there. But what you did that I was introduced to that I really, really like, and I think people have flocked to your stuff for, is one of your threads is always like the most added players on Yahoo every day. And I think that's a super, super helpful thing. Cause you know, there's waiver wire pieces I write and other people write, it comes out once a week. Okay. That's cool. But Yahoo's mainly always daily leagues. So that's like a big deal that you can kind of highlight this and that, you put some stats behind it. It's not just like a fluff piece. Like it's pretty good stuff. And that's the kind of content, like you talked about trying to be something different. There wasn't much of that going on. So I think that's a good thing you're doing, not to mention the other stuff. So keep up the awesome work is what I'm trying to say.
I really appreciate that, man. Thank you. I haven't been so active with the most added player threads. Like I said, I haven't been feeling the best.
You're allowed to take some time off. It's okay.
But those will be starting to come back again very soon. So be on the lookout.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Last week I had first half. Actually, I wanted to ask you something, but I want you to plug your stuff first. You hinted at it at the top. You talked about it. You have a new manager in Toronto. Well, you're going to potentially have, like, you have an interim manager right now in Toronto. There's rumors that you might be getting some old friends coming back to town. That's one of the rumors I've heard. I've heard mixed reactions on that, just watching Twitter kind of have its fun with it. It's really entertaining. It seems like anybody that's a Toronto Blue Jays fan or in the area, they understood this move 100%. Like, yep, okay, it makes sense. It was time for Charlie to go. Outsiders are confused, because all they remember is last year's Toronto team that was amazing, not the other parts that have struggled tremendously. So what are you hoping they do to, I guess, fire these guys up? Because the talent's still there. It's just not clicking right now.
Well, I think there have been some underperformers. So, I mean, Charlie is the scapegoat. I was never a huge fan of Montoyo. He never really lit that fire under the guys, I thought. And it's evidenced by his record. It was exactly 500, I think 236 and 236. It's just exactly perfectly average. And this team is built to be a lot better than that. Now, like I said, Kikuchi has been awful. Barrios has been a complete roller coaster up and down. Last night he was fantastic, but it's, you know, next start might be Ader and runs again. So we haven't really known what we're going to get out of him. Kevin Gausman has been great, but he got hurt recently. He's missed a couple of starts. So other than Alek Manoah, they haven't had a lot of consistency in that rotation. The bullpen, other than Jordan Romano, has been pretty inconsistent. There's a couple other guys. David Phelps has been all right. Tim Mesa is another guy for those of you who I don't think he's too well known outside of Toronto. But there's a couple of decent depth guys in that pen. They haven't been really performing outside of those guys. And we've seen struggles throughout the lineup. So I thought there might have been a hitting coach move where they got rid of the hitting coach or something. You tend to not really see a lot of success once the manager's fired midseason. So it's kind of, I'm not going to say a surrender for the team this year, but historically, I saw some article, a Bleacher Report or ESPN or something, where out of 85 managers who've been fired midseason, 19 of their teams ended up making the playoffs. This is since 1970, 1980 or so. So it's not looking great, other than maybe they bring in a few pieces at the bullpen. I think it's the Yankees' year in the American League, although Houston is very, very close behind them. The Yankees get all the press, but Houston's only 5 or 6 games back. So I think it's between the two of them. This will be more of a, unfortunately, another kind of development year for the Blue Jays, I think.
Yeah, it sucks because they were so close last year. I was loving a lot of the shirts they were wearing in spring training about, like, last year was the this is the real movie, basically, is what it came down to. Last year was the preview. This is where it's at, the prequel or something. So I was looking forward to it. They're so young still, which is a good thing. Maybe they go the Phillies route, though, since they got rid of Girardi. They've been playing great baseball. So you never know. And there's always hope, and the extra wild card helps out as well. So we'll see where that one goes. I just want to get your thought on that one, because I love rooting for those Jays, but they have been very frustrated, especially if you play fantasy. it has not been what we've been hoping for many of them, but I digress. Like I said, last week we had a first half AL surprises with our buddy Torres. Torres Takes was on to break those down. This week we have Joe doing first half NL, and we talked about it before the show started that NL was not nearly as easy to do as AL. It was some teams that aren't that good. They just don't really – I guess surprises would be if they were winning baseball games. That would be the surprise. But we'll start in the AL – or the NL East. We'll start with the New York Mets. And I picked David Peterson or Taijuan Walker. You decide which one you want, because I think Peterson has been really, really strong. Still walks too many guys. The strikeout rate's been outstanding, though. He's been using, the slider a lot more of late. His pitch mix has changed a ton. Talked about him a few weeks ago. But then you got Taijuan Walker, who I've never been a Taijuan guy, but he has slowly been getting it going of late and really filling in the void the best you can for the injured Scherzer and DeGrom. You can never fill that void, but as close as they can. So what are your thoughts on these pitchers, and is there anybody else in New York that you had?
Well, you could go the Francisco Lindor route, I guess, because last year was so disappointing. I don't know if it's really a surprise necessarily, and the title of the show is Surprises. It's more just what we would have hoped for. But he's already surpassed his RBI total from last year, things like that. So he's not a surprise per se, but definitely someone I wanted to mention. But between Peterson and Walker, they're really the reason, or a large reason, for the Mets' success. They're ranking in top 10 in almost every major pitching category, despite losing Scherzer and DeGrom and my guy, Ryan's guy, Tyler McGill, who we were both really big on. He had some he had injuries and he was disappointing a little bit. So they've lost a lot of their pitching depth. And Taijuan Walker, I think, might be the bigger standout, just because this is probably the best year of his career to this point. 2.63 ERA, it's a 3.67 xFIP, so he's overperforming maybe a little bit, but even if he gets to that 3.67 number, it'd still be a success. His 79th percentile chase rate and good x stats, and I think, you know, he's pretty sustainable rest of season. And one thing I did here is just I jotted down some notes beside every player. And I put down there NFBC ADP. I don't play NFBC, just to get that out of the way. I'm kind of new to this whole fantasy world, so I focus, like you said earlier, more on Yahoo and ESPN. But I know a lot of your listeners are NFBC guys. So I jotted down NFBC ADPs from late February until the start of the season. And with Taijuan Walker, he was going as the 425th pick on average. That's across all NFBC events. So great value there. David Peterson, even more value. He was going after pick 700. And he's got 3.48 ERA with a 3.52 xFIP. He's had a great bump in his strikeouts recently, like 7 strikeouts, I think, in each of his last 5 starts. And last night, he got left in the game a little bit too long there. It was unfortunate. Matt Olson took him for a ride. But overall, both of these guys, really, really exceptional. I would lean Taijuan as being slightly more exceptional, but you could go either way, I think.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I think Taijuan would be very, very deserving of the surprise, because like I said, I've always been kind of skeptical. He's never been consistent for me. He's got the long ball issues from time to time. Seems to have really put it together so far, and this is why, you know, a lot can change. That's why we're doing first half awards right now with Taijuan. But I could definitely, I was 100% out on him. Like, I have David Peterson in like draft and hold leagues, like in late rounds, like you mentioned the value. Like, I could see him. He's had his moments from time to time. Okay, cool. I've even added him on Fab in a couple leagues this year. Taijuan, I've just never believed in. So he's totally fooled me. Like, he's very, very deserving of this. So I hope he continues it up. Like, that's what I want to see. Now Scherzer's back, looked great in his return. Supposedly DeGrom is going to start throwing some more and get back here very shortly. If they can do that, the Mets can make a run. Yeah, because they were kind of running away with that division, and then the Braves have come back. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how that one goes. But I can definitely see either one of those there. And I'll go with you on the Taijuan one. I think that's very, very deserving.
Well, what we've seen with DeGrom, those rehab starts, he's getting over 100. So I know it's single-A batters he's been facing, but it's very promising. I mean, the Mets are going to have a lot of pitching depth down the stretch if he comes back healthy.
Yeah, it'd be dangerous. Very dangerous. Just stay healthy, DeGrom. Stay healthy, please. The Atlanta Braves, this one, obviously you can make a couple other arguments, but it seems like a no-brainer to me. Spencer Strider is the dude. Literally between the stash, the abilities, it's just been one thing after another with him. There were some people, I'll give credit where credit's due, like Russ and some other guys that were on him in deep, deep, deep formats going into the season. I'll be honest, didn't have a clue really a whole lot about Spencer Strider heading into the year. Like, I was like, okay, it's one of their prospects. Maybe we'll see him at some point, whatever. No big deal. I don't worry too much about that. He's been filthy, absolutely filthy. Even when he's kind of off, he still strikes out everybody. 110 Ks and 70 innings pitched. It's nuts. And is like FIPs and XFIPs and Sierra, like they all back up the production. Like, it's just a legit ace type stuff. It's just longevity. How far can he go? That's the question. But when it comes to first half, he's been pretty darn good, Joe. So what do you think?
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Well, I'm very happy. I put down, it was a very modest $10 bet on him, but it was at plus 1400 a while back for rookie of the year. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. They're trying to get me to cash out over on Bet365, but I'm going to hold out for the 150 as opposed to taking the $20. He's been outrageously good, man. I mean, he struggled with his control a little bit last night, but like you said, he was completely off the radar. I'd never heard of him. Granted, I mean, I've been a baseball fan, but I've definitely been more focused in this year doing the like quote unquote analyst thing, trying to really dig in a little bit. But in terms of guys who I was on the radar or who were on my radar for minor leaguers, he was not there, but he probably should have been looking at his strikeout rate going back every year. It's over 30%. And he's up to just about 40% this year. The walks are maybe a touch higher than you'd want, but they're about where he's always been, about 10%. But at nearly 40% K rate, I worry a little bit down the stretch how many innings he can really throw. He's already at 70 innings. He'd never thrown more than 63 in any of his minor league stuff from last year anyway. So I'm not really worried about his outlook. I'm just very, very happy with what we've got. I think he's going to win the NL Rookie of the Year. The strikeouts, his last 22 innings, 38 strikeouts, just ridiculous. That's the main takeaway for me is wherever they use him, he might end up being down the line more of a bullpen guy. But I think that he'll be a great fantasy asset for years to come.
Yeah, and he might be a bullpen guy this year just because you mentioned the innings. And the Braves want him in the postseason. So they're going to do whatever it takes to get him there. If it means, you know, doing the old Rays format and use him as an opener and then piggyback with Strider for three innings, they'll do that. They're going to keep him out there to keep him fresh, but we're going to have an issue seeing the innings, I think, going down the line here. We might have a start skipped here. Kind of how the Rays used McClanahan last year. They never officially shut him down, but it'd be like, hey, we're going to kind of miss this start, or, you know, we're going to throw him for one inning this time out and then wait until next time to let him go a full go. Stuff like that to kind of pace it out. So that might get a little frustrating as the season goes on, but even in those small glimpses, he's probably gonna be great. I added him everywhere. I was adding him just as a swing man. I didn't expect him to be this guy in the starting rotation, which has been awesome, but I always thought he'd actually kind of sneak into the back of the bullpen in case Kinley got hurt, but that didn't need to happen. So yeah, love Spencer Strider. Hope he keeps things going, that's for sure.
Yeah, 715 was his NFBC ADP. He was an afterthought. Only a few leagues would have even drafted him. Most of the guys who are on this list were complete afterthoughts, like post 700. Out of all the guys that we're going to talk about, only one of them was being drafted inside the top 100. Only one player.
Wow, I can't wait to. I know who it is. He plays for Arizona.
Indeed.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Yeah, and that was a team that's hard to find one on, so that's why he's on the list. Well, we're going to go to Philadelphia now, and this player, beast mode this past month, just crazy. Like, he's been, I guess, kind of in a slump for like four games, but before that was just the month of June was his month. It was Schwarbaum time all over baseball. Bryce Harper goes on the IL. Schwarber goes, no problem, I got you, dude, and just starts crushing baseballs. Maybe he didn't like Joe Girardi. Maybe he's like was the guy that said, hey, fire this man. I don't know. But Kyle Schwarber is doing everything. He's walking at a ridiculous clip. He's always been an OBP guy, but he's walking and hitting bombs. Like, I think it was him I wrote about recently. It was like one of the closer things to a Barry Bond. No, that was Soto I wrote about. But Schwarber's been awesome. So he's my surprise because in theory, Philadelphia doesn't really have any. Like, Stott was supposed to be the guy. That didn't happen. So I had Schwarber. What do you think?
Yeah, Schwarber, I mean, he did the same thing last June. He was... I think it was June where he hit like 16 home runs and 75 at bats or something ridiculous. he's got an outside shot of hitting 50 bombs if he keeps this up. Now, I worry he's a little bit streaky, and he might be a guy you should sell high on in trade leagues just because this is probably as good as he's ever, not ever going to be, but as good as he's going to be this year. This has been his hot stretch, and I don't know that we can really expect 50. I mean, I'm hoping for 50. There's an outside chance at 50, and there's a very low BABIP at 228. He walks a lot. So there's a chance that he has a little bit more value outside of home runs going forward, but I think that you could probably sell pretty high on him. He's like a top 20 fantasy asset if you look at totals for the whole year. He's like 18th overall. I don't think we're going to see that continue down the stretch, but it's anybody's guess with that kind of power.
Yeah, and the thing is with Schwarber is he can do streaks like this. Like, we've seen it before, so he might have one more of these in him in, like, August or something and do it all over again. He did it with Boston. I think it was Boston last year after he came back from his injury and did stuff. Like, he has waves of where he just kind of disappears for a bit and then other waves where he just crushes for a while. So he's awesome. Great OBP player. In average leagues, like you said, I would definitely look into selling high. Like, I really would. I love Schwarber. Absolutely love him. But let's be realistic. Like, he's not going to be much higher than this. So it's a great call on that idea. Like, if your team's good in power, which it might be because of what Schwarber did, but you need steals or something, or you need a pitcher, like, this is the time to do it. So start making some moves. There's still plenty of time to make moves in your leagues. And he would be a great guy to do that with. So that's a good call on that one.
Yeah, he was just outside of the top 100. 105 was his ADP.
See, at first I thought it was him, and then I looked down. I'm like, no, it's not. It's the other guy. Yeah. All right, let's go to the Miami Marlins. And they had a couple I could see arguments for, some young players. Like, Jesus Sanchez is one. That's really started the year good, kind of slumped a bit. I could see the argument. I went John Birdie. I think a lot of people agree John Birdie. He was the benefactor of a Joey Wendell and Brian Anderson injuries to get him playing time. Right now my buddy Jazz is out, which is not cool. But so we'll see what happens when they're all back. But for now, Birdie's still playing pretty much every day. Still in towards the top of the order. The dude's got 27 stolen bases. Joe, I don't know how old you are. I don't need to know how old you are. I can guess you're definitely younger than me. When I was young in the late 80s and early 90s, guys used to steal 60-plus bases. That was a thing. John Birdie might be one of the first ones to do that in quite some time if he plays the rest of the way. That's still a big if, but to me, he's the first to have surprise for the Marlins.
Well, I'm definitely younger than you are. I grew up early 2000s was my time.
That's what I figured.
And guys that I remember going for massive steal seasons off the top of my head would be Scott Podsednik in the mid-2000s. Yeah, I think he went off for like a 70-plus steal season. Jose Reyes with the Mets had a couple
of big one.
Massive ones. Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else. I don't think Billy Hamilton ever really got up there as much as
he tried.
if he played 162, then he would have had a legit shot at like 100. But yeah, I think from your era, you're talking about like Vince Coleman and Ricky Henderson, guys that can go for
all the time. It was like automatic.
Yeah, like 100 steal potential guys. Yep. Now, in terms of the Marlins, John Birdie is, if he played a whole season with his current stolen base pace, it would be a 79 steal pace, which is awesome. Ridiculous. He's not going to hit 162 games, obviously. And that's one thing he's always kind of had with him. He's never played more than, I don't think, 85 games in a season. One thing I do really like with Birdie year on year is his strikeout percentage has gone down. So it's 26.7 down to 25.4. down to 24.8 and then 22.5. And now this year it's 20.8. So year on year, he's striking out less and less. I really like that. I'm a little worried about the lack of periphery stats. He's not going to hit you any home runs. The average is all right. It's been pretty good recently, actually, because he's been the everyman except for the home runs. But I'm just a little bit worried about sustainability down the stretch. It is possible that he just steals 50 or 60 bags. But I wrote about him a couple weeks ago as being someone you could probably sell high on just because of all the hype. You could get yourself back like a really solid guy with a higher floor than Birdie. Not that I necessarily think you have to sell, but I think there's a lot of value in him right now that I don't know if we're going to see that sustain for another 80 games.
100% agree. Like, I love John Birdie. He has helped my team and many others out so far. But if he steals another 30-plus bases, awesome. Kudos. Great. Sweet. But it's also the old adage, like during draft season, we talk about it, when people focus on a certain category in their draft, you only have to win the category. You don't have to blow out the category. So like, there's a such thing as a surplus of a certain category that, like you mentioned with Birdie, he's not getting your power. He's not doing a lot of things that are going to not help you out there, where you could flip a Birdie to a team that needs stolen bases, because stolen bases are very hard to find. And you could get a couple things you need. So I think it's a great call. I think it's definitely an option out there. Birdie's awesome. I do think, though, when it just takes one slump from Birdie, for one, and Chisholm coming back with a healthy Anderson and a healthy Wendell, they're going to be platooning a lot of guys. Like, Birdie can play the outfield, sure. Brian Anderson can play the outfield, sure. But it's not going to be as automatic, is what I'm trying to say. And that can make things very interesting, because if they start benching Jazz, I might drive to Miami and riot. So, like, it we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I'm with you on the Birdie thing. Could be very interesting.
It's a great point you made there about, you know, there can be too much of a good thing. And, you know, his ADP was just south of 700. He's another guy who didn't cost you anything. You almost certainly picked him up off the waiver wire. If you're talking about a roto format where he's already given you 27 steals, sell him to a guy who's looking for steals and look at where you're weak in one area. Now, head-to-head's a different story. You might need some steals going forward, but even there, he was a free pickup, and I think you can really capitalize, get yourself like a top 100 rest of season type of player for him, just based on hype alone.
Yeah, totally agree. I think that's a great call. Let's go to the Washington Nationals, because we have to. This was one of the teams Joe and I were talking about before the show, where really it's, I guess, the biggest surprise is Juan Soto was only hitting 240 or something like that. That's your biggest surprise, but I had to pick a player, so I picked Luis Garcia. Came in from the minors, hitting close to 300. Not a lot of power, though. It's been pretty putrid. Do you have anything for a surprise for Washington? Because it's been a rough season if you're a Nationals fan.
Well, you could go, when you say surprises. Now, if I didn't watch the show with Torres last week, then I might have thought surprises could mean a number of different things, like a Tyler O'Neill type of surprise, or like a Juan Soto type of surprise, where you've seen definitely not what you paid for on draft day. Now, Soto hit a home run today. Actually, he's been better recently, and I think he'll be fine in the second half. Luis Garcia, it's frustrating that he's been great from a batting average point of view. I think he's just south of 300. The lack of home runs and steals are frustrating. He's 1-for-4 in stolen base attempts. I mean, granted, second base is kind of a weak position. I know he's their primary shortstop, but he's also eligible at second. I like him okay. He's more of a deeper league guy, I think. But second base is a fairly weak position. We've seen guys who we thought would have value there, like Max Muncy and Jonathan India, who have not really lived up to what you thought. A lot of people have moved on from those guys, although maybe a little bit early, especially on India. But if you're looking to replace them, you could go with Luis Garcia. He showed a little bit more power last year. He hit 6 bombs in 70 games. So maybe he can be a 10 home run kind of guy, maybe. I like you said, it's we're kind of grasping at straws here, but he's been fairly surprising enough. I think he's probably been a very good story in Washington, more so than a fantasy relevant kind of asset.
Yeah, I'm with you. And on the Soto front, I almost tweeted it out today, but I'm kind of just biting my tongue because I am always been a team Soto guy. And he's up to 243 entering today's game before he hit the home run. He walked twice last week. I wrote about him. That's why I want to bring this up, because I kind of hinted at earlier. He hit 500 last week. He went 9-for-18, plus he walked like almost 30% of the time. He had a couple home runs. That's where I said it's almost the closest thing to Barry Bonds you're going to see. Like, literally, they walked the dude a third of the time. He barely gets any pitches to hit. The team stinks. Like, he had 3 or 4 home runs, I think, actually. He had 6 RBIs. That's how bad the Nationals are. And the reason I mention this is because he did what he did last week. His average is up to 243. It wasn't very long ago when he was hitting like 220 and everybody said the world was on fire. So when Juan Soto finishes the year hitting around 300, I'm going to laugh so hard because he is that good, and I would not be shocked if he did it. So it'll be very entertaining.
No, yeah, and like the walks are there. Everything else looks pretty solid. It's been a terrible BABIP for Soto this year. And I think I mentioned it with Ryan actually on the show that came out today, that you can probably buy low on Juan Soto still. It's not necessarily your classic, you know, dirt cheap buy low, but he's going to cost you less than he would have cost you at the beginning of the season, when it would have been, you would have had to swap out a Ramirez or a Bichette or somebody first round pick if you're an early season type of trader. Now he's going to cost you somewhere, I don't know, still expensive, but definitely not as nearly as much as he would have. And, you know, like you said, he's going to end up batting 300. The RBIs aren't going to be great, but I'd be trying to buy Juan Soto if you can.
No doubt about it. Let's go to the NL Central here. We got the Milwaukee Brewers kicking things off. And Aaron Ashby, people were kind of hyped on him potentially having an impact at sometime this season. It's come very early. And he started out outstanding. It's been a little bit of a hiccup of late. He did go 4 1/3 today on Wednesday with 1 earned, 3 walks, 5 Ks in his outing against Minnesota. And he only gave up 2 runs in his last outing against Pittsburgh.
after four really rough ones. But if you look at all the peripheral stats, he still looks great. The strikeout rate's great. Swinging strike rate's great. There's a lot of promise in Aaron Ashby still. So he was my surprise for Milwaukee. Do you agree with that? Do you have anything on Ashby, or do you have someone else? Because I will say people could pick Rowdy Tellez. I just wasn't surprised by Rowdy Tellez because I love Rowdy Tellez. But, yeah, I get that if people want to pick him too.
Rowdy, from his time in Toronto, it'll always make me sick. You know, the Toronto media, we need a left-handed bat. We need a left-handed bat. We had a left-handed bat. He was blocked by Vladdy. I get it. There's too much going on with Kirk in terms of DH spots, so you don't really even have room for him necessarily. But it stings to see him maybe not thriving, but doing very well. I was always a big Rowdy fan. I love the name. Who goes by Rowdy? You know, he's the only Rowdy. He was great.
He's awesome.
Now, I don't have the stats in front of me, and it just honestly popped into my head as we were talking about this, but Andrew McCutchen, I think, has been fairly surprising.
That's fair. Especially of late. Yes.
Not really expected much out of him, but I think he hit a home run today or yesterday. I have him in a couple of points leagues, and in a points league, he's been great. So, in terms of Aaron Ashby, he's got a Statcast page that would make a bull charge. It is red all over the place. Everything, really everything. He's like 70th percentile or better. Average exit velocity, slugging, or expected slugging, velo, strikeout percentage, chase rate, barrels, literally like everything. Everything red across the board. Yes, the results haven't really been there, but he's a guy you could probably pick up off of waiver wires if we're talking, you know, your standard Yahoo 10, 12 team leagues. A lot of people would probably be sick of him. He's got a 4.52 ERA, but he's got a 3.10 xFIP. I expect a pretty strong second half. Now, he wasn't someone who was so such an oversight in draft season. His ADP was 272. But I think a lot of people have probably gotten sick of him, especially if you're not someone who digs too deep into the stats. You just look at the ERA and you think, yeah, he hasn't really lived up to what we thought he was going to be. Early in the season, he was great. But I think there's a chance to either buy or just pick him up if you can. He's been great. Yeah, he's been hasn't been great, but the underlying stats have been great.
Yeah, he should on paper be just fine. And the last two starts have showcased a little more of that for sure. But yeah, that stretch, four straight starts of four runs or more. And I know in 12 teams, even on NFBC, guys are dropping him. Like, he was getting dropped. So people got some gifts handed to him. It happens from time to time. So yeah, if you can find Aaron out there, go get some Aaron. The St. Louis Cardinals, I had Brendan Donovan down. I like your answer a lot better. So we're going to go with yours, because I totally just, like a dum-dum, went right over top of Ryan Helsley, who the season started out with Giovanni Gallegos, and Paul Spohr probably does not listen to the show, but shout out to you, Paul, because I'll never forget at First Pitch Arizona, when we were doing our live draft, that we did the first half of the draft on hold, and he picked Giovanni Gallegos in, I think, the third or fourth round, and I yelled from across the hall, the room, basically, that you're an idiot, Paul. I can't believe they pay you at Fangraphs for this. And I just did it to mess with him, because that's how the sense of humor Paul and I have together. And we argued about it all weekend long. But moral of the story is, I was right, Paul. Gallegos has been good. I'm not going to say he hasn't been good. But Ryan Helsley has been the closer to roster in St. Louis, as he has seven saves. He's got six holes, five wins. The dude's been amazing. So I'm going to give you the floor. Since you put him down, I think it's a great call on you.
Where did this come from? 40% K rate, ERA is sub one, and the XFIP is 2.45, which, I mean, you can't expect it to be in that same sub one range. It's just not realistic. It doesn't happen. So even if it is a 2.45, that's fantastic. Very deserving of being in the All-Star game. I know there were some snubs in the NL. Carlos Rodon, namely, on the pitcher side. The two highest, just as a side note, the two highest pitching wars in Major League Baseball, Rodon and Kevin Gausman, were both left off the All-Star game rosters.
Yeah, that's you got to love it. And then you hear all the arguments in the offseason that they decide MVPs based on war. So go figure.
Yeah, we needed Paul Blackburn and Joe Mantiply in there for sure. But it's
the stupid rule where every team gets a player.
You know, the Welsh is kind of going on about Joe Mantiply, how it's no one's going to have a jersey there except for his parents. So it's a shame that everybody's got to get one, but I understand it, to try and keep the fan bases involved. But I'm glad Helsley got in there anyway. And I mean, Alex Reyes not being there has definitely opened up more of a deep role in that rotation, in that bullpen. I know that Reyes kind of fell out of favor last year, but it's still another arm that he doesn't have to compete with. He's provided like third round value, and he was not even being drafted, like 750 ADP in that range. You're being drafted by maybe a couple of people if you're talking like 50 team drafts or whatever, or 50 team rosters, I should say, 50 player rosters. Jesus, I can't speak. But he was a total afterthought. This is kind of what I was hoping that Juwan Duran would do, and he's done it to a lesser level. But Helsley has been one of the top five relievers in all of baseball from just a waiver wire pickup. So great value.
Yeah, he's been absolutely amazing. And I was I'm kind of mad because I grabbed him or I added him 1 week when he was kind of getting buzzed to be a closer. So I had to pay a ton of money for him. Then it looked like he was going to lose the job. Didn't have it for a while. Gallegos took it back over. So I dropped him, of course. And I digress from there. It's been a pretty lovely situation all around there with Helsley. But he's been awesome. Like you said, where did it come from? I don't know. And for those that are going to report back to Paul, I was just joking around. So don't get feisty, Paul. Well, real quick, I'm trying to pull it up. That's why I'm killing time here. But let's look at Yahoo 12 teamers. I'm looking at the player rater on Razzball. I do want to see. You have me curious now on where does Helsley land on the player rater list here. And he's been that good. So I'm very curious here. Relief pitchers season to date, Razzball player rater, 12 team Yahoo formats. He is the third best reliever in baseball, in fantasy baseball. So behind Clay Holmes and Edwin Diaz. So that better is pretty.
Better than Hader surprises me. I'm surprised.
Well, yeah, Hader on this list is sixth. It goes Holmes, Edwin Diaz, Ryan Helsley, Kenley Jansen, Emmanuel Clase, and Josh Hader.
Wow. Holmes had a kind of a falling off a cliff moment last night a little bit, eh?
Yeah, he had a rough one, and the stupid fans in New York booed him. Like unbelievable, like idiots. But what's even more impressive, so Hader at six is surprising. Just I'm going to round out the top 10 here because this is maybe an argument not to take closers early. It's always a fun argument. After Josh Hader, the seventh best reliever, Jorge Lopez. The eighth best reliever, David Bednar. The ninth best reliever, Daniel Bard. And the 10th best reliever from Kansas City, Scott Barlow. Wild. Wild times.
Wow. I think Liam Hendricks was the highest drafted closer this year. He's nowhere to be found on that list.
Him and Hader. Like, so Hader and like Kenley, like I think the only two I named there that were actually drafted for the closing role in Class A. So three of them. Yeah. Other than that, it's wide open.
Surprised Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz as well. Was he not on
sorry.
There?
Yeah, I mentioned him. Sorry. Yeah, he was the second. He's number two.
Yeah, okay. I thought because he's been
so great. Four of the top 10 were guys that people targeted overall, but six of them nowhere to be found. And if I kept going down, it's Paul Sewell, Adam Simber, AJ Minter, then Jordan Romano. So there's a lot of non-targeted closer. This is a pretty entertaining relief. It's a relief pitcher, so it's the grand scheme of things, but it still says a lot about how the closing situation's going. Pittsburgh Pirates, another team that is having a rough go of it. And I like this guy as a surprise. He's only hitting 201, strikes out a ton. I think he leads all NL rookies in home runs with 14, and that is Jack Sawinski. So Jack Sawinski's there's lots of good and lots of bad, and not to mention he plays for the Pirates. But there wasn't a whole lot of other surprises. People, it might be O'Neill Cruz by the end of the season, but other than that, I really couldn't find anything. David Bednar probably deserves it, actually, now that I mentioned him on that list. But I put Sawinski.
I don't really remember Bednar's stats from last year. I think he was not too bad, though. Wasn't this good, but
there was
terrible.
At least speculation he'd be the closer this year, not like a complete surprise.
Yeah, with Sawinski, it's unfortunate timing right now. He's 0 for his last 25, so it's been a rough couple of weeks. But the power seems to be there. One thing I should mention is the BABIP luck has been pretty shitty. He's at 233. He's usually been at plus 300 in his time in the minors, so I like that. I like that his O-swing is only 27.6%. He has a pretty good eye, it seems. But that 201 batting average has killed you. So I expect him to get a little bit better in terms of the average. And the power, I think it'll be able to sustain as like a 20-ish home run guy. And I know Welsh was saying he likes Sawinski more than O'Neill Cruz this year. I know he's not a big O'Neill Cruz guy, but it's interesting to see what he thinks, knowing the prospect world like he does. I think Cruz is going to be good over time, but Sawinski has been impressive. Other than some of the recent struggles this last week, he's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's. I was surprised to see 201, but the 0 for 25 makes sense in that regard. But yeah, the power is legit. I think that's something to keep an eye on. And they've had some other guys come through there. Like Dio Castillo's been good. Michael Chavis has been like they're good, but nothing great. So it's been tough to pencil it down there in Pittsburgh. But David Bednar, go get traded to a good team and go enjoy some winning, man. That'd be fun for you. Chicago Cubs, they got a lot of moving pieces in Chicago, but right now Christopher Morel, I'll be honest, didn't know much about him coming into the season. Have him rostered in a lot of leagues now. I do. But when he was leading off, it was really awesome. He's kind of moved down in the order a bit. But he's got some power, got some speed, got 10 homers, 7 steals, decent average. Been quite productive for the Cubs. So I think he's a surprise for me. What about you?
Yeah, and he's eligible at second and third and in the outfield. I don't think he has the third base eligibility on ESPN. I'm not sure about NFBC. But
NFBC is second base outfield.
Second base and outfield, it's still a very valuable combination. Yeah. You can plug him into your lineup. And he's been a guy who's been worthy of not just a bench role, but as a starting guy, as a 5-category contributor. I mean, less than 200 at-bats, 199 at-bats, 7 steals, 9 homers, 266 average, 34 runs. That's legit 2020 potential, I think. If you look at the prospect ratings, 60 out of 60 speed tool, 55 out of 60 raw power. He's been one of the bright spots for a fairly disappointing Cubs team. Not that they had high expectations. His BABIP is pretty high, 364, so that might come down a little bit. But I think the power and the speed are pretty legit. So I agree with you completely. Morel has been very surprising and very beneficial to a couple of my teams.
Yep, 100% with you on that one, hopefully. Well, we'll see what they do. The Cubs should be making some trades here, so we'll see how that affects things going forward. One thing I will say is Wilson Contreras this season is insane, so yeah. That's kudos to him. Cincinnati Reds, I wrote down Kyle Farmer. I like your answer a lot better. Brandon Drury has been ridiculous. I just wanted to give Kyle Farmer some props, though, because he's been very, very good, way better than people give him credit for. So that's good on him. But Brandon Drury, my goodness, what he's been able to put together this season with a whopping 18 home runs already, even 2 steals, which isn't bad. But like a 259 ISO, a 870 OPS, and a 136 WRC plus from Brandon Drury, you would have lost every bet coming into the season if you would have put anything close to those numbers out there. So, yeah, you put the right one down on the list there, Joe.
Well, Farmer, I like Farmer. Now, it's a shame he doesn't have catcher eligibility like he had last year. That would have been fantastic. Like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa and Farmer were two guys who I loved last year because you could plug him in a catcher. So, and he hasn't been too bad, Farmer. He's been very serviceable. Certainly not as much as last year, but Brandon Drury, he's already had his highest WAR season this year, 2.2. He's even stolen a couple of bags, which is actually a career high, 2 steals. He's never even gotten this far, so you'll take it. You know, 2 isn't 0, it's something. I think he'll be traded at the deadline. I think the Reds would be stupid to not trade him. His value is so high. We've seen improvements all over the board from him. So his line more line drives, less ground balls, more fly balls. He's been fantastic. He's another guy who was just a waiver wire pickup. I hope he gets traded. I hope he goes to a contender because he's been legit.
Yeah, and this is a question I think we had on last Thursday's show is he should get traded, but we're trying to figure out where he'd go because Yancey was asking us what it would do to his value because obviously hitting the Great American Small Park is the best thing you could ever have. So it's always going to be a downward swing no matter where he goes, just how much is the question. So that'll be fun to see where he ends up and see where it goes. So it might be a sell situation right now if you can, just to get ahead of the train on that one. But Drury's been awesome, and his eligibility's nuts. He's all over the place. So I'm with you on that one too.
Yeah, I don't know about fantasy if you necessarily need to be selling him. Like I don't know how sustainable it is. You'd recommend trying to sell him right now, you think?
I just don't know where he's going to go because whatever ballpark he goes in is already going to be not as good as where he's at
now. That's true. That's true.
And if it's a contending team, is he going to have an everyday role like he has now? You'd think so, but you never know. Like the Dodgers could use him, but would he play every day? Because they lost Chris Taylor, so that'd be a great fit. The Red Sox could use him. The Jays could probably use him. We named a bunch of contending. The Braves could use him to take Ozzy Albies' spot. They just played Cano for crying out loud. He'd probably play every day there. But a lot of the places, like it's like 50-50. The half the teams he'd probably play every day, half the contenders you could see him play a utility role, and that's where it gets interesting. So I don't know. You might not need to trade him, but you can also strike pretty high right now too.
Yeah, he's been like a top 40 or something player this year.
Well, I got the Razzball Player Rater up. Let's just have some fun with this. Let's just talk all hitters here. Let's go utility.
Probably could be higher than 40. I'm thinking just fantasy with mixing in pitchers and everything. But if you're talking about just hitters, I'm guessing like top 25.
I'm going to do all players here. And if this thing wants to load, yeah, I got you. It's now it's going to be fussy. Let's just reload the page here. Now, there we go. Brandon Drury. This is why we have good radio. He is 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he's 25th if you do pitchers and hitters. Yep. Huh.
Oh, 25th. With pitchers. Wow.
With pitchers, he's 25th.
Wow.
Yahoo 12 teamers, 25th with pitchers. That's how good he's been when it comes to fantasy. So yeah, that calculates as a surprise for sure.
Another guy who was not drafted whatsoever.
Yeah, he's had to be free. Another guy, we're going to go to the NL West now. He's right in front of Brandon Drury on the player radar, 24th overall when he took pitchers and hitters together. That's Tony Gonsolin, the Catman himself. He's been great for the Dodgers, 11 wins already. Like every year, they had Julio Urias had all the wins last year. Tony Gonsolin's already got 11 wins this year in 16 starts, which is insane. Decent strikeout numbers, great ERA. There will be some regression. That's just normal, but he's still putting up pretty solid numbers. So what do you got on Gonsolin?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be regression. This is something out of a movie script, right? 11-0, 162 ERA, 0.80 whip. Now, the BABIP he's allowing is 183, and he's stranding 91% of base runners. So those are going to change. The XFIP is 382. If he gets to 382, he's still going to be fine. And I say he's a sell, not necessarily that he's going to be terrible going forward, but he's someone that's not going to be where he is right now. You could get back someone probably very, very pretty for him. He was going around pick 300 in draft season. He's been one of the biggest values of the whole year, providing like first round, second round value. He's already at his career high in pitches, so it's another thing that I kind of worry about a little bit. So I'd probably sell, but I think he's still going to be fine going forward. I've always liked the guy.
Yeah, I've liked him too. I got a lot of flack for taking him in deeper leagues in the preseason. Like, oh, he won't get enough innings. He won't do this. Well, I'll take 11 wins right now. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Did I think that would happen? No. But it's pretty cool. Pretty cool when it does. So, yeah, no, I like Gonsolin, and it does not hurt that he pitches for the Dodgers. That's always going to be a plus. And it's one of those teams where he can give up. He could have an ERA of 4 and still have 11 wins, and he wouldn't have been surprised. So that's the beauty of it. He's not pitching for the Giants. This is the Dodgers. So you have a beautiful thing going for you there. Let's go to the Padres here. And this was kind of a tough one to really pick a guy, to be honest. But I went with Jorge Alfaro, who's been very good. He's been playing outfield and catcher, so and a little bit of first base, actually. So he's played all over the diamond for the Padres, hitting almost 270 on the season, a little bit of pop, even as a stolen base. So I went with Jorge Alfaro. What's your thoughts? San Diego just didn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, there's really not much. I mean, maybe Mackenzie Gore, if you exclude the last couple of weeks, but it'd be impossible to do it now. But there was a point where he was definitely the biggest surprise out there. I love Alfaro's eligibility, catcher, and in the outfield. It's that there's another guy coming up I don't want to spoil who's got that eligibility. And also Eric Haas for the Tigers. I love that mix. It saves the legs of the catcher, and it also allows you to play him like 6 days a week. So Alfaro, this is kind of like what he did in 2019, where he had 18 homers and 57 RBIs. He batted 262. He's doing similar stuff with strikeout and walk numbers as he did that year. Now, I'm a little worried. The BABIP is a touch high, but his career BABIP is 375. It's very high already, so I'm not too worried. It's just something to note. He stole 8 bases last year, so like you said with the steals, it could be something that we see a little bit more of down the line. He's about as good as you're going to find over there in terms of a surprise. Maybe one of the pitchers like Musgrove has been a surprise, I guess, for how good he's been, but I don't think that really fits the criteria here necessarily.
Yeah, it's like the studs have been Musgrove, Machado, who you expected to be studs. Cronenworth starting to get it going, but you expected him to be good. Yeah. So it's just been kind of like you would hope maybe CJ Abrams, that didn't work. It's just been some holes. So I like Alfaro. He's been added in a ton of leagues lately as a catcher too. So people are catching on to that as well. He's been very serviceable. I like that Eric Haas shout, by the way. He's a 20 home run plop from a catcher with outfield eligibility is pretty, pretty primo. So oh, yeah. I like that one a lot. All right, let's go to the Giants. Let's talk Jock Jams. He's actually up the bat as we speak against the Diamondbacks right now. Jock Peterson has been nuts. All-star, 17 home runs, hitting 256. They showed his stats right when he walked up. And twice as many plate appearances basically last year. He had 18 home runs and 61 RBIs and a lower batting average. So he's playing very, very well this season. I don't know. I love watching him every day. I was pumped when the Giants got him just because he's fun and a great atmosphere. But what he's done so far, way exceeded my expectations. I don't know about you.
Well, when he first started going on a tear, because there's been a couple of hot streaks and there was a little bit of cold mixed in, I think somewhere in early mid-May, I thought he was going to be like a daily changes specialty guy where you put him in there against right-handed pitching, maybe 3-4 times a week, probably 4 or 5 times a week. And pretty much what Matt Carpenter has become. That's what I expected out of Peterson. Peterson's become more of a mainstay. He's an all-star for the second time in his career. And he's going to capitalize in the offseason, I think, and get himself a lot of money. He's on a 1-year, $6 million deal right now. I think he's going to get something like Kyle Schwarber kind of money, 4 years, $80 million in that range. Career highs in a lot of key areas for Peterson. WRC plus, hard hit percentage, expected slugging, barrel rates. He's done a very good job for himself. He just seems to be able to thrive wherever he goes. And maybe thrive is a little bit too heavy of a word there. But I really love Jock Peterson. All the fantasy stuff from earlier in the year. He's just a personality. I love the guy.
Yeah, big fan of his. He just got robbed of extra bases, so that was fun to watch. But yeah, I love him. And what I love is just even the story about his brother who's got some disabilities, and he's from the Bay Area, and the Giants built a locker next to Jock's for his brother. It's a really cool story watching the whole thing. So he brings his brother around all the time, and it's going to be fun to watch, especially at the All-Star game during the Home Run Derby. I don't think Jock's in it. It'd be fun if he was. He's done it well in it before, but his brother's been there at those. It's always been very entertaining, so love seeing all of that. Got a couple more here. We go to Arizona, the man that was in the top 100 of ADPs, like you were mentioning, that does have catcher outfit eligibility. And I was a big Dalton Varsho supporter coming into the season. Lots of love for him. I was dying on that hill. I was nervous because there were some smart people that said, you're an idiot. But he's hitting .235 with 12 homers and 5 stolen bases. Not great. It's kind of been a slump of late, but pretty darn good at the same time. So I'll take it with Dalton Varsho. What do you got on him?
Yeah, his June was just piss poor. It was like really, really bad. The catcher eligibility, and he plays catcher, I think about half the time, more than half the time, roughly. Yep. That's a huge part of his value. If he was doing this as just an outfielder, he'd be someone who would probably just be mixed in to the bunch. But I was big on him as well. So Baseball Pods on Twitter, Chris, he posted something before the season that was asking who, you know, plant your flag kind of thing. Who are your guys? And Varsho was one of my guys. It was Varsho, Luke Voit, Logan Gilbert, and Alex Wood. Bit of a mixed bag there. And Varsho is someone who I picked a lot of shares. Like most of my leagues, I reached a little bit for him. I like him. I think that was a terrible month, but he'll correct. He's going to have career high in home runs. Hopefully the steals turn around a little bit more. Only 5, you know, close to 20 steal guy in multiple seasons in the minors. I'm hoping for more, and a lot of it's dragged down by that one terrible month. But rest of the season, no need to worry. He's definitely been a huge surprise for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, he's already hitting much better in July. He has a 2-run triple in today's game in his first at bat. So that was great to see as well. So yeah, I'm a believer in Varsho, and honestly, I'd love to look back and really get into the numbers on his bad June, because he caught, I think, more than usual because Kelly was on the IL instead of playing the outfield. I wonder if that affected him offensively potentially. So something to think about as well. But even with the struggles, looking at the player rater, he's the 3rd best fantasy catcher this season behind Wilson Contreras and Alejandro Kirk. So Varsho's been just fine, all things considered. When you're breaking it all down. Last but not least, we go to Colorado because we have to. And you know, honestly, I was thinking about Charlie Blackmon might be a surprise. He's got his 14th home run yesterday. Like that's like a least reasonable conversation. I put Connor Joe, 5 homers, 5 stolen bases, hitting .265. I will say with the caveat, be careful. They might be starting to looks like maybe kind of platooning him. So just keep that in mind when you're watching that. Follow Mike Kurland. He mentions a lot of that kind of stuff. So look into that. But I put Connor Joe. What's your thoughts on that? Or do you have someone else in Colorado?
No, I think right before we started, I was going to throw Charlie Blackmon on the list. And I was thinking, I can't do that to him just right before we get going here. Just throw that at him. But Blackmon, we kind of thought he was in a bit of a decline. I was big on him last year. And the end of season numbers last year were not too bad, but it was a struggle for a lot of it. It took him a while to get going. Connor Joe, I was pretty big on, especially in those first couple weeks when he was really hot. He was someone who was, you know, his roster percentage shot up, and now it's shot way back down into like the 30s. If we're talking about like Yahoo roster percentages there. Last year in 63 games, he was .285, 8 home runs. Looked like it was going to be a monster year, and it's been not great recently. He hasn't hit a bomb in the last month. 5 steals, .265 average. You'll take it. I think he's more of a play in 5 outfielder leagues and 3 outfielder leagues. I think there's probably some better options. But we've seen a bit of turnaround with Colorado's offense with Chris Bryant. On today's show, we were talking about first half disappointments on my show and people we were expecting more things from in the second half. And one of those guys that Ryan mentioned was Randall Grichuk. So if everything can turn around a little bit out there in Colorado, more of the pieces start gelling together, we might see a better second half out of Joe. But he's still been a surprise, but it's tough to pick out in Colorado. It really is.
All right, we went through those, and we have breaking news right now. Star Platinum in the chat mentions Tanner Rainey to the 60-day IL with a UCL sprain, just reported by NBC Sports. That usually leads to Tommy John surgery. And it's kind of funny is not the right word. Ironic, I guess, is on yesterday's show, recapping Fab with Ryan Roof. He does the RotoWire bullpen report and all the charts and everything for RotoWire. And I asked him at the end of the show, do you have some like potential guys to target as sleepers? And he mentioned Kyle Finnegan is because Rainey has been struggling. I guess we know why Rainey has been struggling now. He has a sprained UCL. So go get Kyle Finnegan.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look and see how many guys they have in the pen who are even possible fill-ins. And it's tough going out there, man. Yeah, I'll have to go with Finnegan as well, because there's really not much going on. That's tough. I've had Rainey in a couple spots. He hasn't been, I mean, only 12 saves. There was a long stretch of no saves, but that's really unfortunate. You hate to see that.
Yeah, that's a rough one. But thanks for the heads up there, Star. I appreciate it. Yeah, when you're looking at Washington's bullpen, Finnegan would be the dude, because coming into the season was supposed to be Rainey, Finnegan potentially battling it out for it. Rainey got it. See, the match in Finnegan fits in. But you got your C-Shecks, who's had history doing it. Tyler Clippard's in the pen. Yeah, it's ugly. It's ugly all around. So good luck with that. Star did have a question for us, though, also. Do you think Eddie Rosario is going to get regular playing time and Duvall can be cut? Before I let Joe have the floor, I will say, I said follow Mike Curlin because he does a lot of charting of lineups and everything. And he's mentioned since Cano's been there and since Duvall's been back from paternity list, I think it's like three games or something. Duvall's faced lefties, Rosario's faced righties, Cano's faced righties, Orlando Arcia's faced lefties. So there seems to be a platoon in the outfield and at second base. So what's your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, it's unfortunate with Duvall. You know, we saw what he did last year, 38 homers, 113 RBIs. Haven't really seen that this year. I'm depending on league size, I'd probably be all right to cut him in standard leagues. Rosario, I mean, he's just come back. I think he had like the LASIK eye surgery, right? He couldn't see properly at the beginning of the year. So I might want to hold out on him a little bit longer just to see what kind of correction there is. And if, you know, if he starts mashing, then they will put him into the lineup. We've also had more of an opportunity this year and we haven't really seen it. So I'd be more inclined to cut him. It's unfortunate, multiple 30 home run seasons, but not really doing it this year. Rosario, I'd give a bit more time. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No, you're fine. I'm with you. And Rosario can hit lefties. So we'll see how that one plays out. And then Torres, our buddy Torres Takes, has a question, a real baseball question. He says, who's taking the NL East, the Mets or the Braves? And we kind of like talked around that earlier in the show. Didn't really hit on it, but the Braves are coming back on the Mets. Mets got some potential help coming into Grom. You think the Mets or the Braves wins the division?
Well, I think Jacob deGrom is the huge wild card there. They're pretty neck and neck right now. Scherzer coming back is going to give them a little bit of a boost. Obviously, he already has. He's been dominant. If deGrom comes back and he's old Jacob deGrom, it's hard to go against the Mets. We saw, I mean, their lineup can really pop off any given day. And today we saw Mark Canna hit a home run, Lindor, Eduardo Escobar. Just those depth guys produce for them. Brandon Nimmo, they're really deep with names that aren't really household names. And then, of course, Pete Alonso and those guys who you do know, everybody contributes there. We talked about Edwin Diaz earlier. They've just had a lot of contributors. If they get deGrom back, it's hard to go against the Mets.
Yeah, I'm going to go Braves.
Yeah,
okay. I don't disagree with what you're saying about DeGrom. I guess I'm just nervous we get DeGrom back to what DeGrom's supposed to be, because I just, even when I see him throwing 100, I get nervous that arm's going to fall off again. And can Taijuan Walker keep pitching this well? So I'm going Braves, but then again, Spencer Strider might be out for like, who knows? It's going to be interesting. It's fun. It's fun to have that conversation, let's put it that way, to have the Mets potentially in this thing. I'm going to go Braves. I like the Braves offense better than the Mets. So I'm going to go that direction, but it should be a very fun one indeed.
They're both deep. They're both really deep. And, you know, if Rosario does do what I'm hoping he'll do, and maybe Duvall will turn it around, who knows? They're very deep. They're both, like, I'm not going to say nine deep lineups, but, you know, even guys like Luis Guillorme for the Mets, just to plead my case one more time. Like, everybody seems to contribute over there. If I had to bet, I'd say the Mets, but it'll be interesting at end of year to see who's right here.
It'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun indeed. And what else was fun was this show, Joe. I truly appreciate you joining me. It was a great time. Before we sign off for the day, why don't you remind everybody once again where they can find you and plug all your great stuff.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate you having me on here, man. I'm still a novice in these things. If you guys are hearing any nerves in the voice, it's because this is, Bubba, you're the big leagues, man. So this is great to be on here. This is fantastic. I hope at some point we will get you on my show again. And I didn't even plug it earlier. I meant to plug it earlier, but we'll do it now. So you guys find me on Twitter at JoeOrrico99, O-R-R-I-C-O-99. I post threads there. I post my shows there, which Monday through Friday. I do a Sunday article, which is kind of whatever I'm feeling on Friday and Saturday. Sometimes it's waiver wire. Sometimes it's buy low and sell high. Whatever I'm really feeling. It's always fantasy baseball related. Maybe in the offseason, we'll do more just general baseball stuff. But for all your fantasy stuff, go and hit me up over there. Now, on trade deadline day, this is the announcement I meant earlier. I guess I was excited about being on here. I forgot to mention it. Trade deadline, I'm going to be live on the Sports Ethos YouTube channel. You guys can check it out. It's just at Sports Ethos on Twitter. You guys can find it over there as well. And it'll be posted all over the place. We're going to have some great people on. Bubba's going to be on. Some of your favorites, Eric Cross and the Welsh, are going to be on to dissect the prospects that get traded that day. You know, tons of people that you guys know. It'll be 3:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And hopefully there's a lot of trades that day. We've seen guys go down recently, like Molly and Frankie Montas, who I hoped would be traded. So that might dampen the market a little bit. But it should be a very exciting day. Looking forward to talking with you again then, if not sooner. And yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a great time, man.
No problem. Thanks for joining me. Like I said, it's been fun watching your growth already. Got some great stuff you're doing over there. So keep up the great work. I hope people keep following you and bugging you on Twitter. I see you're getting a bunch of questions. That means you're doing something right. So keep up the good work, and we'll definitely do this again sometime, Joe. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah, that's the thing. When people are shooting you a bunch of questions, the receipts are wide open, and sometimes they ask you in the morning who you should stream, and someone doesn't see the tweet till the evening, and they think, Jesus, this guy is a moron. But it happens, right? It's tough. You can't predict the future. I think if you can get 60% of your questions right, you're doing a very good job. And I'm not sure if I'm there, but I hope
you're doing, a great job if that's the case. But keep up the good work, and we will do this again sometime. Everybody, this is Bench with Bubba, episode 409 with Joe Orrico. Catch you guys next time.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.